Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings and welcome to Mount Olympus. I am Hercules Invictus, and today on Hercules and the Space Gods, I'm proud to bring you the Worldwide Religion of Love, hosted by Diane Duncan. Greetings and welcome, Diane.
Well, thank you, Hercules, and thank you so much for letting Michael and I have the opportunity, and Alexander, our son, to speak to people about our program. I thank you so much. Thank you.
And I thank you so much for being on this journey and for so generously sharing of your experiences and your thoughts. As we did at one time in the past, but we're going to start again this year, where we have like panel discussions on various topics.
Sure.
And, because you, of course, represent the sixth revelation and you're helping to bring about the worldwide religion of love, we're going to start there.
Okay.
And I'm going to invite Gerald and Nick, who are your guests today, to participate. And we'll be dealing with a different topic every month. And
okay.
I'll explain a little bit about the background of it. Are you aware of theurgy?
Well, I know you have talked about it.
Okay. Theurgy, in a nutshell, is an ancient Greek practice, or Greco-Egyptian and Greco-Roman. It was around that time, where you reach up to the highest that you can conceive, to the divine, and you link with the divine, and then you bring the divine down here through you, to perform actions in the world. So this is very much what you do. You could describe it as theurgy. You could describe it as channeling. You could describe it in a number of ways. But it could also be described as theurgy. And right
now... How do you spell it, please?
T-H-E-U-R-G-Y, theurgy.
Thank you.
So also, all three of you, in addition to being united by the Urantia book, you've had experiences with Rosicrucians and Theosophists and all sorts of other metaphysical folks. So you bring with you that experience. So I want to basically raise that awareness that this is something that has been here since antiquity, and it's still here now, although it's called different things. And we already started the conversation with the pagan community, or people who follow the mythical spiritualities. And I'd like to start the conversation with the folks who follow cosmic spirituality. And you certainly fit that bill as well. So now I'll hand over your show to you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. I do appreciate all of your knowledge. I mean, my goodness, that this experience that we're doing, so much of it would not be here if it weren't for you, Hercules. You brought all of the Greek to us, and my study into the Greek has just opened up a whole new world. So I thank you again. I thank you again. Tonight we're going to have Nick Curto, and I'm going to talk to him first, and then we're going to have Alexander. Alexander is 17 now, our son, and he just gets into the most interesting things. Hercules, would you have a few minutes in a little while to talk to her, to our son? He's going to talk on, wonderful, wonderful. Well, I'll let you tell him, tell you all about it, but that's great if you'd help us with that. Well, as Hercules said, I'm Diane Duncan, and my husband is Michael. Michael is a past president of UBLA, which is Los Angeles Urantia Book, and I was on the board for many years. We have been and still are Rosicrucians, Theosophists. We are Maitreya Great Tao. We have a big altar in our living room. We are really open to the gods that everybody are worshiping, but the gods are for everyone. We're finding out that there's so many similarities in all these religions. I wanted tonight to talk about a little bit more information, because we're getting more information about the Worldwide Religion of Love that began on March 20th, 2020. We were right on with that when we predicted it 3 years before. And we'll be celebrating our third anniversary on March 20th, 2023. And that's not very far from now. Now, on March 24th, and keep this date in mind, 2023, the planet Pluto will retrograde into Aquarius for 3 months. And so that'll be March, April, May, and a little bit of June, till June 10th, 2023. And during those 3 months, we will be given a glimpse of the new age of Aquarius. People thought that they were experiencing the age of Aquarius in the 70s and even a little bit late in the 60s, but they really, not really, but we really will. So we'll be able to see how the future is going to be fulfilled. Just a little bit, we'll get a glimpse. Maitreya is going to show us the changes, and he's giving us all these new plans that he has every day now. It's coming fast. And also, he is under Gabriel, Archangel Gabriel, and Gabriel will guide us with Aphrodite, the goddess of love, and with suggestions for a happier and simpler life that's more fulfilling for everybody. On March 24th, 2023, we will have a new sovereign of our planet. Dionysus, the Greek god, and Persephone, his consort, will leave as our planetary rulers, and they're called different names in the Urantia book, but they're still the sovereign of our planet Earth. And then another sun god, Hercules knows there's many sun gods, Hyperion, yeah. And Theia will have a connection to us as our new sovereign, and they'll be a new king and queen of this Earth. And they will have a coronation March 24th, 2023. Well, look, that's not very long. All of this is happening really, really fast. But they will also be the ruler of our sun, but also of our planet. So we will also have a new intercessor for this humanity that we have on the Earth right now. We found out about this just a few weeks ago. Under the Christ, this new intercessor will strive to help everyone. Now, he is under Maitreya and Gabriel. He is telling us he's not a god. He's actually had incarnations on this Earth, and five of them is what he says. And he's saying that he doesn't want us to worship him as a god. Now, see, I've just really been talking with gods. We've got about 25, 30 gods that we know, and they come here. Some of them stay a long time. I've got tonight, Hera wanted to come to this meeting, Aphrodite, and of course Gabriel. The three of them are visiting here with me and therefore with you. But he is not a god. He is what he says you could call him, maybe an ascended master or even a saint or something like that. He, going through the incarnations here on the earth, he has worked himself up to being what they'd almost like call a bodhisattva in the Buddhist religion. So he is coming to try and help me to get the message out that the Christ is coming on April 13th, 2026 to talk to people and talk to them through their heart. It will be a spiritual meeting from the Christ. But his message, and he keeps telling me, is the same. It's sin no more. Begin a new way of living under the Father. The Christ wants us to do no harm. Those who see him will be many. And you put that date down, April 13th, 2026. That's not that far either. I want to go on maybe later, if I have a little more time after we get our guest in, to mention about, I wanted to wish everyone a Happy New Year. This is the year of the cat in Chinese, Japanese, and the Japanese rabbit, they call it. And a lot of people will say, oh, Diane, you know, that's not important, you know, the Chinese astrology. Well, you know, I've really been studying this and researching it. It's amazing, but the Chinese had this astrology for over 4,630 years. We know that because we have it all written down in their own, well, I don't know what language or what that is, but they have been working on this for over 4,630 years. So I'm going to stop now, and I want to ask Nick. Nick, how are you doing during this new Chinese Lunar New Year?
Absolutely. Well, I love Chinese food, so one of the things I am absolutely planning is going to one of my favorite Chinese restaurants and just eating up a storm. It's one of my plans, to tell you the truth, and I'm highly suggesting that everybody else might want to do something like that. I just think it's kind of a fun thing to do. And Diane, I want to ask you, is March 23rd again what you said, March 23?
It is. Well, there's two things happening. On March 24th, 2023, that's in just weeks, really, we're going to have a coronation of the new sovereign of our planet. And he also will be the new sun god of our solar system. And that is really an amazing, very, very amazing thing. And that's Dionysus and Persephone. What I've found by studying the Greek through learning about the Greek through Hercules is that these gods have taken Greek names during the Greek times and so forth, and then, of course, earlier different names and later different names. But the thing is, though, that they change positions a lot. And, you know, you learn that even in the Urantia book, that they change jobs, kind of like. Now, the thing is, it's happening April 13th, 2026. That is, hopefully, as many people will see the Christ as possible. So, you know, that's a whole different thing. Now, on January 10th, 2024, is when our new intercessor that we were talking about that is not a god, he will be then taking over a position to help humanity, like as a ascended master something like that, a bodhisattva. So I know there's a few dates in there, but the first one you want to put down is March 24th, 2023, because that's
a big one. Yep, that is a Friday. And so the 23rd, there's nothing special on that day. Is that correct?
Well, it's not that it isn't. This is a whole period, but on the 24th is the coronation, and that's
very
special.
So that's
special.
The big one.
Yes.
Okay, so that's the one I should have in my calendar. Okay, I just wanted to make sure. I'm putting it in my calendar as we speak. I just wanted to make sure. So that
March
is on Friday,
2023, and that's just in weeks, and that will be the coronation of Hyperion and Thea, the new queen and king of this earth. And it's in the Urantia book that there would be a new sovereign, and it is Hyperion. And Hyperion happens to be the son of Uranus and his wife Tia. You know, Urantia? Urantia book?
Yep.
Urantia?
Yep.
And they are the parents of Thea and Hyperion, the new sun god of this planet and the solar system. So that's the first date that's the most important.
Excellent. Well, we need all the good news that we can get, and so that sounds like a piece of very, very good news. So thank you very much for that.
Yes, of course. And too, I want to mention the cat year will be a calmer year. It's a feminine sign. We're going to have more maternal interest in the family and love, and everybody should be much more happy and joyous in this year. Not so much fear. Let's throw away the fear now. It came on January 22nd, the new year, the Lunar New Year, and from now on, we're working toward a better life. All the signs are all pointed toward much happiness, and the fear is going to be turned around.
Can't wait. Excellent. Good news.
So do not fear. That was what the message was in 2018 from that was the also another god, though, and he was telling us, do not fear and wait for this day when the Father's going to talk individually to everybody and tell them, do not sin, and please go your way doing no harm. So do not fear anymore, Nick.
Okay. Also, you mentioned that you on this particular podcast, wanted to talk about any wishes that I might have.
Yes, for the new year.
Everyone worldwide for the new year. And I have a little bit of a list here that I made of my wishes and also what I wouldn't want to continue.
Oh,
I have two different lists.
All righty.
So which would you like first?
Oh, which you decide. You're the speaker now.
Okay, well, let me go with my list. It's not too long a list, but it's things that I really hope and pray for the entire world, for everyone in the world, of all countries, of all faiths, of all nationalities, of all races. This is what I would really want from all my heart. The first thing would be enlightenment for everyone, that they would have a much deeper and wider vision of things that matter, that really do matter. So the first one is enlightenment. The second one, I wish everybody love, because love certainly makes our planet go around. Love is so important. Another one would be inner peace that we all want for ourselves and everybody that we love. And inner peace would be certainly up on near the top of that list. Another one would be hope. Hope is so important for everyone in every capacity to have in your heart hope. Another one would be joy. I want everyone to be joyful. There's so much to be joyful for on this planet, this beautiful planet. Another one would be personal happiness. I think that's very important in every individual life. Another one would be abundance. Why not? Why not have abundance for everyone? Another would be world peace, of course. This is something that's never been more important than right now, with so much going on that would almost signal a very, very difficult part of our planet's history that would be, in some cases, some people say, is going to definitely be, if anything, but that. And that's what I would want, world peace for everyone, every single citizen in every single country. I have a few more. Deep spiritual knowledge, whatever that spiritual calling is for the individual, that they really dig deep in that. I think that would be important. Another one, of course, is the category of truth in your life, nothing but the truth. That is very important. That is the bedrock of a happy life. Another one would be simply a happy home. A home life that's happy and joyful.
Yes.
I've got four more. A loving home environment, because some of us have that and some of us do not. And I've been in homes that you can just feel when you walk through the door, the love that's there in a home. And I've also been in places, unfortunately, I think we all have, where you feel as though that's not there. The loving home environment somehow is not there at that moment. And you can literally feel that. Three more to go.
Uh-huh.
No more poverty. Poverty.
Oh.
That shouldn't be where we are a planet that doesn't have to have poverty. We do not. Spending the money to get people out of poverty instead of spending trillions of dollars worldwide for war, bullets, bombs, tanks, everything like that.
Oh,
why do we need to spend our money for war?
Right.
That is such a waste on every level. Two more to go.
Mm-hmm.
No more world hunger. Hunger, which is so horribly sad on an hourly basis. And there are people in this world, as we all know, that go hungry every single night. That should not happen. And the last one of my list would be good health. Good health for everyone on this planet.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes, of course.
Now I have a couple more for the what I'd like to see end. Do you want that list?
Oh, I'm all ears. You just go ahead.
Okay, all right. Now, these are, it's not quite as long a list, but it's things that I really, with all my heart, hope that it ends once and for all. The first one is homelessness.
Done.
Homelessness.
Yeah.
Homelessness is something that nobody should ever, ever experience.
Oh.
There was only one little time in my life. It was a time when I missed the last boat. It was at night, and I missed the last boat to an island right off the coast. And I had to either go all the way back to Manhattan, or I could stay in a very empty place, no one around, and just be by myself waiting for the boat to come at 7 a.m. And I was there at 9 p.m. And I decided to wait. And there I was all alone on a bench waiting for the morning so I could get on the boat to go to this island. And about 4 a.m. I was sleeping, and I got a light in my face, and it was a policeman with a light. And he said, I hate to wake you, but what's going on? And I told him.
Uh-huh.
And I said, he said, I'm terribly sorry you experienced that. They changed the schedule, and that's why there was no last boat, because the schedule said there was and there wasn't. So he said, go back to bed, go back to sleep, and they'll wake you when it's time. So, but even that little couple of hours of homelessness, just that one little taste, and I'm thinking no one should ever, ever have that in their life. Of course, I want an end of poverty, an end of hunger, an end of mental and physical hurt, an end to illness, loneliness, sadness, hopelessness, an end of war, and an end of constant mistrust. Those are the things I want to end.
Wow, you have a good list. Well, thank you.
Well, I worked on this. I had a little help,
I'm
too,
sure,
but I did work on this list. And,
you know,
it really
Latreia.
Focuses.
Latreia
it focuses
very...
on what really is going on.
Uh-huh.
So I wanted to put that into your program tonight.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Maitreya. We were so fortunate to learn about Maitreya from Elizabeth Clare Prophet very early in our lives. And I'm so glad that we did. And then went to Taiwan to meet Master Wong, who was the head of Maitreya Great Tao. But Maitreya is going to give us all those things you want, all those things you've listed. He's got in his sack. Got in his bag, and the things you don't want, he's going to take care of those too. Now, we don't know how, but he will.
Can you imagine a world like what we're talking about? Can you imagine living in a world like that? It would be the next step to heaven. It would be so amazing, and I don't see why we can't have that. I really don't.
Well, you know, there is enough money in the world. There is.
Yeah,
there really is. And on this April 13th, 2026, if people really would look into their hearts and say, I'm not going to sin anymore, I'm not going to do any more harm, if they would just do that, then a lot of this money problem would go away, because there wouldn't be any corruption. There wouldn't be any problem with distribution of wealth. People would give of their hearts and of what they have, and they would share. Because this is the whole point, you know, that this Pluto business I've been talking to everyone about. Pluto went into Capricorn in 2008, and now, of course, it's leaving. It's going into Aquarius, and it's definitely going in solid on the 10th of January 2024. And when it does, all of that is going to start to be in the past. So there is hope. There is hope, Nick, for your list to be
hope springs
complete.
Eternal.
Yes, there is hope, because things are going to change. This Aquarian outlook is going to just fill our atmosphere with different thinking. And that's going to change all this. For the last years, since 2008, people have just been power hungry, money hungry, and nothing was mattering except that, just power and money. But now that Capricorn is ending, and it will definitely by January 10th, 2024, we don't have long, then the way of thinking will start to change, and sharing will be the word that is popular. not so much.
No, we are family. We are family. Absolutely. No, wherever you live, whatever country you live in, whatever religion, whatever race, we are family. We are brothers and sisters, and we really need to understand that and act accordingly. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. You have to share. You have to share. You know, I was talking with Alex, our son, and I was telling him about a time when we had this house of ours. It's a four-bedroom house, but we've made it into a five-bedroom. I had my mother living in this bedroom. I had my two sons upstairs. I had a cousin who my relative had just killed himself and left a 15-year-old boy, so we brought him in. Cody, and brought him in. I had, of course, my own sons, Dean and Don. My house was full. I had Michael and I were just like, felt like we were running a boarding house for a long time. But you've got to share, and we have shared our home. We have given of our home to people for decades. And this is, if everybody did this, there would be no homeless, because these homeless people have to have family somewhere. And you know what I mean? I mean, so we made a bedroom in the garage. We made a bedroom out of the family room because we wanted all these people to have a home, and they couldn't have otherwise.
You know, Irish mother and my Italian father both came from, I think, seven brothers and sisters in each of their families. So
oh,
they came
goodness,
from
yeah.
very, very big families, and
uh-huh.
they kind of understood what that was like. And I remember my mother always said, Nick, me being me, I love company. I love it because she understood the joy of company, of sharing a meal,
right.
sharing laughter, sharing experiences with other parts of the family. So, and she was, of course, an angel, an absolute angel in my life. I know what an angel is like because I was her son. And and because of that, and because of what she said, I learned how much family means to everyone. It could be your blood relatives,
right.
or it could be
right.
simply people that you meet that you adopt as your own family. It could be that.
That's right. So if everyone will begin sharing, that's Maitreya's message, his main message. He says, you have a lot. Share it. Share it with others. Well, thank you. Thank you so much, Nick. Thank you for sharing your love with us. Thank you.
Of course. Okay. Always a pleasure to be with you. And Michael, thank you so much.
Oh, thank you, darling. You're such a darling. All right, we have Alexander here, and he is our 17-year-old son. I've raised five kids, but Alexander's the youngest, and he is now going to talk to you. And Hercules, are you there for
I'm
a few
still
minutes?
Here. I'm looking forward to speaking with Alexander.
Oh, thank you. Alexander's in 10th grade now, and it's
wow.
kind of interesting to see what these teenagers are into. So Alex is going to talk about steampunk tonight, and here
All
he
right.
is, Alexander, Alexander the Great.
Greetings, Alexander the Great. How are you today?
Hello.
Hello. How are you?
I'm fine.
Your mom gave you quite an introduction there. She said you're Alexander the Great.
No, I quite detest that title because I believe I am not greater than many other people.
But you're still very awesome. I can tell you that. I've been speaking with you for quite a while now, and you're an awesome individual.
Yes, I suppose so.
Okay, good. So steampunk, is that your latest exploration?
Actually, it's actually one of my oldest.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, I discovered it one day, and I was in love from the second I saw it, pretty much.
Do you read steampunk books? Do you?
Yeah, I try, but
steampunk costumes.
I try all this, but honestly, it's not easy to get your hands on anything decent.
spirit of Halloween. I don't know if you have it out there, but here we have something called Spirit of Halloween, and they always have during Halloween lots of steampunk hats and monocles and vests and, you know, other things, and they seem to be made of pretty good quality.
I actually prefer the visual aspect of steampunk as opposed to the books.
Uh-huh.
Because the thing is that the visual aspects makes things a lot better than it should be.
Do you have steampunk clubs in your school, or do you have friends with the steampunk?
Nope. I'm completely alone.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Regard. Nah, don't be. I'm fine with it.
So
look, if everybody loves it, I usually hate it.
Okay. So what do you love about steampunk? Why is it your favorite thing?
I don't know. It just speaks to me. I can't really explain. It just spoke to me the second I saw it.
Is it the world view that steampunk has? Is it the Victorian era continuing into our own time? Is it the type of scientific inquiry that the characters seem preoccupied with?
I don't know. Maybe it's just the aesthetic overall.
Okay. Fair enough.
Maybe it's just everything. Maybe I just like intricate devices and all that.
Do you make any devices?
I've tried before, but, you know, I don't have access to any materials that would be of use to me.
And are there any, in your area, are there any, like, steampunk conventions? I know we used to have them here. They were very popular, especially in Pennsylvania when we lived. There was, like, steampunk all over the place. People were really into it down there in Pennsylvania.
You know, something really funny about steampunk is that it was actually founded here in California.
Oh, was it?
Yes.
So tell me about how its founding. Tell me about its early days.
It was actually founded by three people whose names pervade me at the moment.
Okay.
One of them was Tim Powers Moorcock, and I can't remember the third one. But Tim Powers was the guy who was eventually going to be behind Pirates of the Caribbean. So...
Oh, he worked on the movie?
Yeah, he did. Or rather, the book. His books are what the basis of the movies.
Okay.
Which is strange, considering everything.
So did he dress up? Did he write stories? Did he create art?
He founded it. He was part of the founding group that did it.
And do you know what they did in the early days?
They actually just sat in a little cafe sharing ideas about it and really enjoying themselves. This was like the early 70s, actually.
Well, you're very wide-read, and your mind also... seeks out new and interesting things. Do you think that someday you'll develop your own subculture?
If I'm going to be honest with you, I probably won't. The thing is that I borrow my aesthetics from the past, not anything really that original. I just take lesser-known things and make them into something new.
Well, that's a form of creativity. That's what keeps these old things alive, that they're continuously redefined in a popular culture, and they're given new twists, and people approach them for the first time. Like, do you know what's happening with the DC universe, the DC Comics universe?
No.
They're starting it over again. So all the movies and the television shows are slowly discontinuing them, and they're going to start from the beginning with Superman. and give birth to a whole new version of the DC Universe. So those characters are old. They're from the 30s and the 40s, many of them, and yet they're continuously re-envisioned. They're continuously coming forth in a new way, fresh and new for a new generation. So you might have that talent where you can take all of these different things you've been talking about, like Cthulhu and paranormal investigation and steampunk, and you might be able to blend them or present them in a whole new way that'll delight a whole new generation of people.
Speaking of revisions in the DC Universe, did you know that there's a version of Batman that's steampunk that takes place in the Victorian era? There was a comic for that.
I heard about it. I haven't read it. Have you read it?
I have a PDF of it. I mean to read it.
Okay.
Gotham by Gaslight.
Was it called Batman by Gaslight?
No, Gotham by Gaslight.
Gotham by Gaslight. Okay, I remember it had something to do with Gaslight.
Yeah, I actually love the design that they did because it made Batman look a lot less like Batman and more like a pilgrim with a mask, and I love that.
Mm-hmm.
Like that weird 1700s clockpunk style that is slightly pervasive that way.
Did they have the other characters? Was Robin, Alfred, Catwoman?
Yes, few of them. Not many, though. Honestly, I wish they could have extended the universe a little bit, but they didn't.
Was a one-shot or a miniseries or a series?
It was actually only a collection of two comics that I find...
Okay.
Just probably should have been continued. It was the same way with the League of Extraordinary Gentlemen as well.
Just I was going to ask you about that.
And then poof, gone.
They made a movie too. Did you see the movie?
I have a physical copy of the movie.
Oh, okay.
It got really bad reviews. I can see why, but. I mean, it was a decent movie. I mean, they were trying, but I don't think they were trying hard enough.
I enjoyed it. There was a cartoon, if I remember, too. They did the story of Jekyll and Hyde, or was that Van Helsing? Van Helsing was another movie that was similar in feel.
It was done by the same director.
Was it? Okay.
Yeah.
Hugh Jackman.
I think.
Yeah,
but,
I enjoyed those movies, and with the League of Extraordinary Gentlemen, I actually read the comic. I don't think I have it anymore, but I read the series of those as well.
I read both the Victorian comics. And if I'm going to be honest with you, I think there needs to be comic dubs of it. Which would be great if somebody these days could pull off a British accent properly.
Well, people from Britain could pull it off.
No, like say some American people wanted to do it. I mean, I've noticed that the ability to do accents has kind of gone down recently. It's kind of bothered me.
Did you see the Sandman series?
Sandman.
Neil Gaiman's Sandman. They did a series based on the first graphic novel. That was very well done. Neil Gaiman, the creator, is from the United Kingdom. And
Coraline Omens. He also wrote a few Doctor Who episodes.
Yes. He and Grant Morrison and Alan Moore and some others... were called the British Invasion back in the day because they went to work in the comic book industry and changed the comic book industry, made it something much more deep than it ever was. Each of them is known for their unique style and the unique way of expressing their message.
Wait a minute. Have you ever heard of Mike Mignola?
Yes.
Yeah.
He did Hellboy.
Did you ever hear of his one-shot comic, The Amazing Screw-On Head?
Yes, I read that years ago, too.
I wanted to mention they did make an animated short for that.
Yeah,
you can actually find it on YouTube.
Yeah, I have a physical copy of that somewhere.
I wanted that to be a real series because the thing is that it was actually good.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm serious. Like, they had an all-star cast. It was good and everything, but, like, it was just, I guess it just wasn't good enough.
Back when I had a TV show years ago, over two decades ago, I had Guillermo del Toro on my show, and Guillermo del Toro, he made Hellboy, Mignola's Hellboy, into a movie.
Yeah, so I have one of those.
They made a few of them. I watched the first one, I think the second one. I didn't watch the other ones after that.
Huh. Honestly, that Hellboy is interesting too to me because, I mean, I love the idea of, like, a demon that gets summoned by Nazis and then, like, falls into the hands of the Americans and they raise it to be, like, an American super weapon or something. Love that idea.
Yeah, that was a very interesting story. Did you see the latest film? I missed the latest film.
No, I didn't.
Okay.
I kind of wanted to, but, yeah.
I was wondering if it was a reboot or if it was a continuation or, you know, what they were going to do with it.
Also, speaking of Del Toro, I've actually been trying to look into a bit of his work.
I enjoy his work. Pan's Labyrinth was a good movie. That was very interesting. And he has a television series that's kind of like The Twilight Zone that he's doing. I forget what it's called. Something about a cabinet, I think. I saw two episodes that were adaptations of H.P. Lovecraft that he did.
I guess I have to hand it over to Diney now. So.
Okay, well, it was great speaking with you,
thank you.
Well.
Thank you so much, Hercules. Now you know what a 17-year-old is thinking about.
Lots of things.
Yeah, that's right. Well, Gerald, where are you? Are you there, dear?
I believe I am.
Wonderful. We're ready for some words of wisdom from Mr. Gerald T. Farley, and he is a member of the board of the Urantia Teaching Mission, and we are so proud to have you on the show. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Diane, and thank you, Hercules, for having us. And that was quite a nice conversation between you and Alexander. And, Nick, I really want to thank you for your list because, I deal with information coming in from the Celestials on a daily basis. And everything on your list is covered.
Gerald, I'd like to email you my list because I'd like you to have it. So I will be emailing that later after the program.
That will be wonderful.
Get me one too, Nick.
You absolutely will.
Thank you.
So this is titled The New Matrix. And the Matrix is a grid system that provides the light required to maintain a physical representation of consciousness throughout the human body. The matrix on Earth was hijacked by those who have dominated us for millennia through frequency technology and changes to the human body through DNA manipulation. This new matrix that we are entering is allowing the human body to ascend physically, if that's their choice, in a higher or our choice, in a higher dimensional reality. Lightworkers and galactic intervention are bringing in this new grid while the old one, 3D, slowly dissolves, and that includes all of the duality. Humans who are on the ascension path have been tuning into the new matrix. Basically, the this new quantum matrix will have universal consciousness, so it will not get hacked. That feels good. Back when the old matrix created, there was a detail left out. When Earth was seeded with the human race, our guides, the Pleiadians, left our planet to grow and evolve while they attended other projects. At some point, our Pleiadian guides and other celestials who had been in constant battle throughout our universe with dark forces found out that our Earth and the human race were being hijacked. It took a long time to figure out how it was taken over because they could only see what humans were seeing while interfacing with the program with free will. As programmers, they are also able to look into the future to see possible outcomes of the co-creation using our free will program. They were alarmed to see that pretty much every outcome led to the destruction of the human race. This is the reason the incarnation process with souls from the original matrix began. There have been posts on Pangaea, Lemuria, and Atlantis, meaning everything that is taking place now all connects back to our original seeding of Earth. It all connects. Our galactic guides started investigating what had happened. So with these incarnations of the star seeds of the original matrix, that's us, by the way, and many who are listening to the show, they would report back to these original guides through linear time. It is kind of what some of us are doing right now, and some of us do not even realize it. The data of every thought, emotion, and experience we are having about the world around us is being sent back to our galactic guides, who are very high advanced beings from advanced civilizations. These guides of ours found out the intensity of the black magic that was being used, the use of very low negative frequency programming on our subliminal consciousness through means of fear. They also found that the physical changes to the body kept humans from actually progressing as a species. And we were all more geared towards slavery. Meanwhile, the Luciferian devastating DNA manipulation that was done to us, and that's what that meant, a loop of reincarnation. Reincarnations were taking place, and the human species could no longer remember their past lives and that they were all connected to each other and their source. Many of these original grid workers of original matrix have incarnated in our current reality as star seeds and light workers. So we are being drawn to those earthlings who tell you that most of us are from Pleiadian lineage, Arcturian lineage, Lyran, Andromedan, and other galactic civilizations. This is why we are drawn together. Everything connects off-world. Our purpose is to wake ourselves up along with as much as of humanity as is possible out of this old matrix. And by doing this, we are collectively moving humanity, who are making the free will choice to ascend our embodiments. And it is a free will choice for all of us. Many are not. along with our heart, mind, consciousness, and souls. So our embodiment along with our heart, mind, consciousness, and souls into the new 5D and beyond unity matrix, where everything that Nick talked about on your list, the positive aspects, are all available as we speak. And this is all imminent. It's coming to us now. Many people carry the codes of this new matrix, and while they are enabling themselves, they are enabling a path for the whole of humanity into this higher reality. More and more of humanity are making the heart-mind-conscious decision to vibrate in the frequency of love instead of fear. One of the key parts of your list, love, a major step. The DNA we carry has all the codes of everything we have experienced in our past, present, and our future lives. As we can see in our world today, the old program is breaking down. It is said that what is happening in our reality has never happened before, shifting from one hologram to another while in such a physical state. It was tested in predictive programming software, and it was achievable. Again, I know this is hard for many to grasp, but human species is part of a grand experiment. Anytime the programmers wanted to make a change in the past, they followed the rule of allowing the cycle to end and had to decide what sort of cataclysmic event was going to wipe out the human population while keeping the best specimens to bring in the new changes. Many argue humanity will go through a cleansing brought on by fire. Some are steadfast on disease. This is not what our galactic guides are telling us. This time, we will ascend in the human form, all of us who make that choice, that free will choice, and we'll decide to keep it or morph into our light body form, or use a combination of both. We will have that option because we are ascending our physical embodiment, our heart, mind, consciousness, and our souls to 5D and beyond, which means having the option of an embodiment of crystalline cells and mitochondria is available as we ascend, or take spirit form if we choose. Many of us are experiencing so-called ascension symptoms such as fever, chills, vertigo, heart palpitations, headaches, intense ear ringing, flu-like symptoms, and many other bizarre symptoms that doctors have no real answer for. Many of us have connected to this new matrix on the heart-mind-consciousness level, connecting to it while we sleep. While waking, we bring these geometric codes with us into this reality, meaning the physical body is now catching up to the spiritual body, and it's changing on a cellular level as we speak. This has been gradually taking place for many years, but because of the accelerated activity of the hijackers, our ascension has also accelerated. So they booby-trap themselves. Flowing and grounding with this higher frequency is very important in this transformation. Also tuning into our multidimensional self, our Christ self, our higher self, the divine within. And the knowledge and insight that comes with it is essential to this grid work. tuning into this new frequency will allow us to experience a new holographic reality. Eventually, we will be able to switch from our physical body to our light body and back to our physical form. We will be able to manifest and unmanifest everything into our physical body that does not serve us anymore, like concrete and electrical lines and so forth. Free energy will sustain our living requirements, and travel will become much easier. The monetary enterprise will be a thing of the past. Eventually, the human will have abilities that are superhuman. How soon we can achieve this individually and as a whole is all up to us.
On that
Thank you
note,
for listening.
Oh, perfect timing. We have to start wrapping up. We have a little bit more than 4 minutes, and I'd like everybody to share their contact information.
Of course. Could we start with Nick? Nick Curto, would you give us your
contact information?
Hi there.
Okay, sure. Absolutely. Best way is by my email address. I'm going to give you that. NICKNYNY1, and that's the numeral 1, at gmail.com. Again, NICKNYNY1 at gmail.com. Thank you, Diane.
Sure. And what about Gerald? Would you please give us your contact information?
The phone is area 503-385-8480. And the email is Gerald T. Farley at proton.m, and E as in Edward. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. I just want to mention that just a couple of days ago, I was talking to the Father, and he says, we will be transformed. We really will be. And one more thing I wanted to mention, we just had an asteroid that would have hit South America a couple of days ago. I think it was 22,000 miles away, but that's not very far with an asteroid. But anyway, you can reach us with our email, Michael Duncan, MICHAEL, Duncan, DUNKIN, 1, the number 1, at hotmail.com. And I thank Hercules so very much, and I thank you, Nick. I thank you, Gerald. I thank you, Alexander. And again, thank you, Hercules, for letting us be on this platform and share our ideas.
And thanks to all of you as well for an excellent show. Gerald, you'll be back on the air in February, so I will contact you with the details of that with your own show again. And I look forward to starting our conversation and exploring the deeper mysteries of cosmic spirituality.
Thank you.
Sounds great. Thank you, everybody, and Happy New Year. It's the cat year.
Happy New Year, everyone.
Happy New Year, everyone.
Much love to everyone.
We're going to close with Michael's song, God Bless the World.
Oh, thank you. Thanks, Hercules.
God bless the world. 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 Thank you. us all. God bless the world. God bless the world. Every one of us. God bless the world. God bless the world. God bless the world. God bless the world.